Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Your presences are each a great blessing to all of us. In lighting the Christ candle, we call upon the conscious circle of humanity to watch over us as we each take our place, one by one by one, in a circle of intention, and place ourselves under the canopy of the work. And so let us begin with prayer in the name of the Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Indwelling Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So we begin this evening in the memory and celebration of another one of the teachers in the Fourth Way lineage, P.D. Ouspensky, born March 5th, 1878, in Russia, in that part which is today known as Ukraine. He met Mr. Gurdjieff when he was 37 in Russia, and studied with him for 10 years. And thereafter, he formed his own groups in England and the United States and led them for 25 years. In fact, he was the one who was the opening teacher for the Nichols and introduced them to Gurdjieff. And like Mr. Gurdjieff himself, he was a man who sought ultimate truth by traveling all around the world, learning about science and philosophy and trying to integrate them. And it was all in the service of understanding the purpose of a human life. His vast number of papers are archived today at Yale University. Tonight, we're going to just sit in on a snippet of a conversation that he had with Mr. Gurdjieff, wherein the subject was consciousness. This is quoting Mr. Ouspensky. On one occasion, with talking with G. Gurdjieff, I asked him whether he considered it possible to attain cosmic consciousness, not for a brief period only, but for a longer period. I understood the expression cosmic consciousness in the sense of a high and vast consciousness possible for man, in the sense in which I had previously written about it in my book, Tertium Organum. I do not know what you call cosmic consciousness, said G. It is a vague and indefinite term. Anyone can call anything he likes by it. In most cases, what is called cosmic consciousness is simply fantasy, associative daydreaming, connected with an intensified work of the emotional center. But even apart from all this, before we can speak of cosmic consciousness, we must define it in general, what consciousness is. How do you define it? Consciousness is considered to be indefinable, I said. And indeed, how can it be defined if it is an inner quality? With the ordinary means at our disposal, it is impossible to prove the presence of consciousness in another man. We know it only in ourselves. All this is rubbish, said G. And herein in the conversation, he gives a long description of self-consciousness and concludes with, we have only the possibility of consciousness and rare flashes of it only then. So as their conversation goes on, Mr. Ouspensky concludes with, I cannot say that what was said about consciousness became really clear to me at once. But at a later meeting, Mr. G. offered, not one of you has noticed the most important thing that I have pointed out to you. That is to say, not one of you has noticed that you do not remember yourself. You do not feel yourselves. You are not conscious of yourselves. With you, it observes. It speaks. It thinks. It laughs. You do not feel. In order to really observe yourself, one must first of all remember oneself. And he again emphasized these words. Try to remember yourselves when you observe yourself. And later on, tell me the results. Only those results will have any value that are accompanied by self-remembering. Mr. Ouspensky concludes, all that G said, all that myself thought about, and especially all my attempts at self-remembering had shown me very clearly that I was faced with an entirely new problem, which science and philosophy had not so far come across. Mr. Ouspensky wrote much about self-remembering and its importance. May we too come to study it and come to embody it. So as we stated in today's email, we've come to the conclusion of part one of our curriculum for this year. Part one entitled Manifested Being. And we might think of it in some ways as a kind of overture of the year, a setting of context wherein we will now start to move deeper and deeper into each of the areas that we mentioned. Harmonious development is a theme that we will explore in a myriad of ways as the year unfolds. But right now, we have just begun. So now we prepare ourselves. Come to our own being to participate in a manner that is worthy of what we have been given. And I wanted to draw special attention this evening to our friend and fellow companion, Deborah Jean Harding, who I see is with us. I am delighted to see that. Deborah Jean paid a visit to the hospital today, but is now home. So we encircle you, Deborah Jean, with our love, our prayer, and dedicate our evening to you. We place ourselves, center ourselves, each of us, in a place of imminent trust and receptivity to the influences pouring forth from the conscious circle of humanity. And in fact, emanating from each of our beings, we prepare to share these influences. Take them in with high valuation. Embody them with back upright, still and contained, letting go of all tension and constriction. Fully present. We breathe in. Deeply from every most hidden part of our being. All being. Everything. Everything that has passed through us this day. Everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than, everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy. all suffering, all affirming, all denying. And we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as the beloved. And we do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. We hand over the complexities of the day, the plans for tomorrow, the anxieties and small fears of our hearts. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. Lord, have mercy. And now we enter into the time and the prayer of Lectio Divina. And our reading will be read three times with a silent pause in between each reading. We take it in as food for our being. God chose to make known how great among the peoples of the world are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, whom we proclaim, encouraging everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom. Christ, in whom we mature. Christ, the energy that powerfully inspires our work and struggle. The possibility of harmonizing our being is a wish, we believe, of considerable consequence for the very context of our lives, for our relationships, for our evolution, for our society, Earth and cosmos, and perhaps even for God. We each embody the ideas, and the ideas become alive in our practice and convey a transforming grace, which we then emanate out into the world. God chose to make known how great among the peoples of the world are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, whom we proclaim, encouraging everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom. Christ, in whom we mature. Christ, the energy that powerfully inspires our work and struggle. The possibility of harmonizing our being is a wish, we believe, of considerable consequence for the very context of our lives, for our relationships, for our evolution, for our society, earth, and cosmos, and perhaps even for God. We each embody the ideas, and the ideas become alive in our practice and convey a transforming grace, which we then emanate out into the world. God chose to make known how great among the peoples of the world are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ whom we proclaim, encouraging everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom. Christ in whom we mature. Christ, the energy that powerfully inspires our work and struggle. The possibility of harmonizing our being is a wish, we believe, of considerable consequence for the very context of our lives, for our relationships, for our evolution, for our society, earth, and cosmos. And perhaps even for God. We each embody the ideas, and the ideas become alive in our practice and convey a transforming grace, which we then emanate out into the world. May it be so. Now, taking what we have received, we are invited to share the gift that we received for the benefit of all of us. It may be just exactly what someone needs to hear this evening. Just raise your hand, your digital hand, if you wish to share. Billy and Brad, or Brad and Billy, or both. Are we having a little? I'll come back to you then, and we'll go to Steve.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. Yes, okay. Welcome.
This is the first time in the Lexio that I've noticed the artwork. Mm-hmm. I always go to the words, and my mind, my intellectual center just chews on that. And then someone's sharing and they're talking about the artwork and I don't know what they're talking about because I totally forgot it, blanked it out. And we've talked before about I'm a body type who ignores his body. And so it sometimes just ignores certain parts of the sensory experience. But the artwork today just struck me. And I've been wondering about the division of centers after Michael's great talks. And I'm still struggling with how they communicate with each other, the different centers. It's almost like they have a language barrier, but then they have these little embassies in each other's center that kind of mediates the communication, it seems to me. And so what happened with me on this, on the art, was I was just drawn to the cosmic conscious face looking outward with piercing eyes and wholeness and the clouds within the figure and then the fractured, dried out, crystallized ordinary existence. And it was looking the other way, the other looking down. And it just struck my emotional center and my sensory center. And then the words washed over me and it brought in the intellectual center last, which usually is always first. So it was a nice reversal. Mm-hmm. Very harmonized. So
hallelujah, Steve. It sounds like you had a real three-centered experience. Hallelujah. Thank you. So Billy and Brad, you want to try again and see? There you go.
How's this?
That's good.
Glories of mystery. That was the phrase. And it really almost shocked me because, well, I don't know why, but I just felt this, oh my, yes, the mystery of and the preciousness and the miracle of being born human, to be a three-brained being, to have the potential to develop into a much higher place, a much higher being, you know, hopefully level four but and above, right? But that's what struck me, is just the preciousness of it. And it is a mystery. How does this happen? Can never answer. But I just thought that was a beautiful phrase.
Yes, really. Thank you, Billy. Thank you. Camille, good evening.
Good evening. I was also struck by the artwork, and I won't repeat what Stephen said because he's already said it, but I had much the same response to the very different figures in that picture. And it also made me think of a section of the email from last week that I have been dealing with all this week that I would like to read, because I think that picture illustrated some of what this is saying. And this is from the last paragraph before the homework in last week's email. It says, as we come closer to unity, the nature and meaning of our lives changes. And if that picture of those two people was the same person, their lives definitely had changed from one to the other. Not only our perception and understanding change, but how we can live. We do not exist in a vacuum. Our own development serves to bring us closer into contact with other beings and also to bring us under the influence of what lies beyond existence altogether. And the person on the left that had the clear view of eternity, it seemed to me, with that clear eye open, had that view of other beings beyond our existence. Mm. And it just seemed very striking to me. Yes. It was awesome.
Yes. Thank you, Camille. Thank you so much. Kay, and we'll close our section with you, Kay. You'll need to unmute.
It's not letting me unmute.
There you go.
Oh, am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I too was taken by the beautiful graphic, and I thought of these two figures as Stone Man and Cloud Guy, and I noticed that Stone Man had just a few little stars sparkling on him, and of course Cloud Guy was just he was just embodying the cosmos. And to me, it was a picture of self-remembering. Stone Guy had some of the glitter, some of the glory of God in him, but he wasn't able to remember himself. And then Cloud Guy was just completely engrossed in remembering himself. Mm-hmm. And then the words that also went along with it just were just self-remembering words. So it was just a beautiful image. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. And thank you, everyone, for your sharing, for your presence, for your being. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Peter, who will accompany us in manifested being that is in service to transformation as Christ. Good evening and welcome, Peter.
Good evening, Marianne. Good to see you and everyone on the screen tonight to share this presence together. And Deborah Jean, I don't want to interrupt your flow of thought, but we'll come back to you. I'll come back to you in just a minute. Well, tonight we have a pause and review opportunity. We've been well served over the last 6 weeks by our teachers. We had Brian Graham start off the year with focusing on the cosmology aspect in three sections. And one of those sections was also taught by Robin Bloor, the side octave. And then we had three sessions taught by our beloved Michael Begeman. And these men served the community very well, articulating the ideas, these rich, rich ideas, the heavens above and the law, the creation of God's centers in us below. And so we've been on a journey, starting with cosmology and moving into the human experience anthropology. I'm going to do a little PowerPoint that briefly summarizes the ideas of what we've covered. And then we can talk about some of the things we've learned through the last 6 months. And I also have three videos to kind of help us experience together, particularly the three different centers we've looked at. And we can observe in the moment together what these different videos do to our centers. But for now, I'll just begin with this slideshow here. Perhaps you remember Brian's beginning of his teaching of the story of starting at the cellular level and the atomic cosmos. It's part of the megalocosmos and microcosmos. He then talked about our little place in the great megalocosmos, bringing into the evolutionary story of moving upward, so to speak, up the ray of creation, not just down the ray of creation, introduced a really fascinating idea of the ray of evolution moving upward, which I thought was very useful. And I'm still pondering this idea. And of course, we all know the story of evolution, but how it is connected to God is a bit of a bigger mystery from a scientific perspective. But nevertheless, our little place in the great ray of creation. And he introduces or reacquainted us with the beautiful image of Lanikea, which is the flowing regional supercluster in which our solar system exists. And he pointed out that the red dot is our solar system, the Milky Way, which you really can't even see amidst the vastness of this Lanikea supercluster. This Lanikea supercluster, he reminded us, is just one of billions and billions of other superclusters in the visible universe. And so the scale of the megalocosmos is mind-boggling, blows the mind. And we can just be in awe and live in humility and reverence to the great creator and source of all. Then we moved from the megalocosmos one step closer to Earth, and that is to the Milky Way galaxy, which is, in the work terms, the ray of creation, locating the great ray of creation in this model of the universe, starting with God or Absolute, and the birth of all of that which exists. It's important to remember that this concept isn't like a ladder or like isolated compartments, but it's holes within holes, or clicking on windows within windows within windows, or looking at your image in the mirror within the image within the image within the image. It's the Russian nesting doll. At this very moment, we're in the solar system, which is in Lanikea, which is in the universe. So all of this ray is nested within itself and radiating or spiraling forward or deeper, or whatever word you want to use. Why was this so important? Well, we looked at what is known as the side octave, and I call it the great ray and the little side octave. And this is a very theoretical, conceptual perspective, but basically this is the role of planet Earth coming off of the sun. And this is our great sun there, beautifully pictured in relationship to the planets of our little solar system. And Robin Bloor said in one of his talks, they all blend together, but said essentially for us on Earth, the sun, the planet S-U-N, is as close to Christ as we will get, so to speak, of an image or an analogy. As the sun is to the Earth and the solar system, so Jesus Christ is to us of faith, who follow that faith. It is the revelation of God that we can handle on our little planet. We can handle the sun, we can't handle Lanikea all at once. Can't even really see Lanikea. But day by day, we live by the sun. Another kind of two images to talk about the cosmos above and then the centers, as we shifted gears to the centers, is the idea of the interweaving of the treble clef and the bass clef. For those of you who are musicians, you can feel the wovenness. As it is above, so it is below. The cosmos and the centers interrelate to each other and play a role. And the double helix also is another analogy of this interwoven nature of our human-centered experience with the cosmos and the different levels of the cosmos and the different levels of being human. These are conceptual, but they're also very important in helping us understand our relatedness and interrelatedness to the cosmos and to one another as a species on this planet. Then Michael Begeman reminded us of the kind of mechanical way of structuring the intellectual, emotional, and moving centers, which has a very useful perspective. It's very useful to kind of quickly map which center you're in at any given moment. Right now, I'm in the intellectual center. What center are you in right now? If you're in the moving center, perhaps you're not listening. Perhaps you want to go get some food or get up agitated. Maybe you're tapping your foot. If you're in your emotional center, perhaps you're thinking this guy's just talking too much. And so you can instantly begin to see what center you are in by just kind of quickly mapping yourself in these three ways. But Michael reminded us that we're not a machine, really. We're not compartmentalized. These things aren't airtight. They're all interwoven and interrelated processes that are occurring at the same time in all levels of the body. I really recommend Anthony Damasio's writings on this because he helps us update the work concepts of the centers or the pie charts into what would normally now be viewed as more processes that are all occurring in the total system of the human being. But nevertheless, in the simplistic way, it's very easy to simply say, I'm thinking, I'm feeling, I'm sensing. And so these three centers are very helpful. And of course, harmonizing them, that they would relate more and be in order more, and that we would use the right center for the right situation. Michael also had this very helpful, extraordinary image, which kind of reviews with us the essence of what we're dealing with here. The conscious level is what we're moving toward and evolving toward, that all of these centers would integrate in and through increasing consciousness or level of consciousness. And that's something to kind of remember. This isn't just flat land, or these just aren't flat circles of the centers like disks. This is a living system that is moving and growing, and the level language of consciousness is useful here, depth, however you wanted to articulate it. But this little triangle image that Michael provided for us, I think, captures something more that is possible for the centers as they harmonize and evolve or grow toward unity. And as they are in that oneness, they're also expansive in their capacity to take in more. Then, just to conclude with this beautiful passage of scripture that sets the whole thing, the cosmos and the centers within the Christian language. This is from St. Paul's book, Letter to the Ephesians, Church of Ephesus, chapter 4. Just take this in with your emotional center and your intellectual center, if you can, or the emotional part of your intellectual center. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, which is the Christian word for harmonization, we would come to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way, in every center, into Christ, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. I think that's a beautiful passage. It's a banner passage to take for your life, mission statement. And really that intellectually, spiritually, in the language of Christian faith is describing what Michael has provided with this gorgeous image. St. Paul's language and logic is really right here. Move toward Christ to maturity and you grow in that union. So we'll go to some examples now, and I want to give ample time for everyone to share. And so if you bear with me, I have three videos to play, and in total, they're about 6.5 minutes. And so what we're going to do is then open up the floor for sharing about your own experience of the homework for the past 6 weeks, whatever you want to share, what landed for you, what worked, and what you're taking from this experience of these examples we're going to do right now with these videos. So the first video is a video that deals with the intellectual center. And what my hope is here that as a community, right this second, right now, we're going to take this impression in at the same time and observe what center responds to this video. Observe what comes up for you as you interact with this video, as you watch this video. And then we'll be able to compare it to the other two videos that come up. And I think it'll be very instructive for all of us, and it might inform some of our homework sharing. So here we go. Let's hope this works.
In this lesson, I'm going to go over some basic concepts in geometry that you want to be familiar with. So the first thing we're going to talk about is a line. What is a line? Now, many of you may think of a line as just something that looks like that. But in geometry, a line would have two arrows. And so it extends in opposite directions forever. Now, let's put some points on this line. So we can call this line line AB. We could also call it line BC. And we could also call it line AC. So there's many ways in which we can name this particular line. Now, what about a ray? How would you describe a ray? A ray has a point and it extends forever in the other direction. So it has a point and an arrow. So let's put some other points on this ray. Let's call this A, B, C. So we can name this ray AC, or we can name it ray, not BC, but AC, I mean AB. The reason why we can't name it ray BC is because the first point has to start at the initial point or the starting point of the ray. So we need to use point A as our starting point. Now, the next one you need to be familiar with is something called a segment. A segment has a beginning and it has an end. So let's say this is point A and point B. So we can describe it as segment AB with no arrows on it, or we could say this is segment BA. So that's a segment. Now, let's move on to angles. There's four different angles that you need to be familiar with. So the first one is an acute angle. Acute angles have an angle measure of anywhere between 0 and 90, but it's less than 90. That's what you want to take from this. And so we can call this angle ABC. And if you notice, an angle is formed by the union of two rays. So here we have ray BA and ray BC. And so this forms at the vertex, creating an angle. The next angle is the right angle. And a right angle has an angle measure of 90 degrees. The next one you need.
Okay, so those of you in the moving center were just giving thanks that he didn't continue on with circles and hexagrams and triangles. So there's a really good example of the intellectual center. And those of us in our intellectual centers probably have all sorts of theories about what he was saying or would love to keep talking about it. So what did you observe happening in you as that video unfolded? What was that like to listen to that video? And what did you observe in yourself? Who would like to share? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Dennis, please. Dennis, are you there?
There we go.
There you go.
So I'm feeling a number of different things. I was trying to grasp onto the concepts, the intellectual part of it, and that I could understand because I all the other rays of creation and this and that is a little difficult for me to, and I'm a little resistant to it, but I could hear what he was talking about and think, great, I understand that. But yet I felt, I guess it was my moving body when you were talking earlier about going through the different like sensing and whatnot. It's like you, if you're in your moving body, your foot shaking, you're kind of wondering, you know, what's, and I'm feeling that kind of nervous energy as well. So I'm still trying to grasp how all the intellectual, the moving, and the emotion, because different words describe the same centers. And so I'm still a little confused by that. So I'm agitated by it, but still trying to be in my intellectual center from the rays and the lines. I get that. And I feel good. I can relate.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. That's one of the straightforward expressions of the intellectual center. It's very rational and fact-based. It can be very formatory as well. But thank you for sharing. That's very useful. Self-knowledge to see how you responded to something right off the bat. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alan.
I kind of observed that I noticed that I felt like he was going too slow. Come on, get on, get to the point. We're going to be here all night long, but this is simple geometry. And I noticed my emotions are physical. There was an anxiousness within my body, within my emotions, with my feelings, because he was just going too slow for Alan's liking.
So you got to see something about yourself that you get agitated when perhaps someone is taking too long to describe something or say something you already know or think they should.
Or something is pretty simple, one or the other.
So it's good to observe. It's just self-observation 101. Thank you very much, Alan. Tamara, please.
So it was really interesting because we weren't sure what was going on, but when you started the video, I looked at Martin and I said, here I am. I looked at Martin and I said, oh, I love this. This is so great. So it's just interesting that, I mean, Martin immediately said, oh, well, I guess you're intellectual center person. So yeah. So that was very interesting to me. And thank you.
Yeah. And so the real intellectual people in their intellectual centers who are burning up the rubber as that video, but that all of you can probably repeat, what were the four things he covered?
Oh, well, you know, the beginning of the line is always the letter, you know, that's where you start. You can only use that letter as a starting point. 90 degrees. I mean, I was enjoying every minute of it.
I can tell you as an emotional center person, I couldn't tell you what the four things were. Maybe I could say line, but I wrote them down.
Yeah.
Line, ray, segment, angles,
mm-hmm.
You know, so some of you may have be able to do that right off the bat without writing something down or even know that I was going to ask that question. Thank you.
Yeah,
Tamara.
I could probably.
Yeah.
thank you.
So, you know, me, I need to work on the harmonizations of my centers. I have to work hard on my intellectual center. Let's go to Max, please. You had your hand up earlier. We'll go to Max and then Jack and then Cammie.
Well, I started applying it to the conversation we were having before this particular presentation. I was thinking of lines and segments as contexts and the rays and the angles as the dynamics within a context or outside of a context. So, and it was sort of fun. I was kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, well, thank God for people like you and building bridges and building systems and flying planes. I'm glad you're here, Max. Okay, Jack.
That was brilliant. I didn't think of architect. I was in outer space. I mean, who knew lines could be so spiritual? You know, rays, there it is, right there. I just like, I'm taking this in set, you know, sixth grade rays, you know. I love geometry. It was always my favorite of all the maths. I hated counting. I hated division. So my intellectual, my emotional, I think my everything was like touched by this. But it was really, I'm ready to go to outer space, you know, with rays. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, hop on a rig, close it for infinity, apparently. So thank you, brother. Jack?
I'll be back. Bye.
Okay. Cammie, please.
As a predominantly emotional, I intellectually, I got the concept, so I got a little bored and emotionally went to fourth grade. And I remember I thought about my teacher and I thought about my classroom. And that was like the first year that we got to be autonomous. So she like put the whole math, the geometry section in a corner of the room and we got to move at our own pace. And so I loved that because I didn't have to sit and wait for an explanation. And I'm not even that great at math, but just the fact that I got to be autonomous and work at my own speed. So I was doing a lot of storytelling and remembering in my head.
That's great. So thank you for sharing, because it's a really good example of probably you went to the emotional part of the intellectual center. If you look at the pie charts, maybe you went to the actual emotional center itself. But I think for a lot of emotional centered people, man number two, we probably go to story or memory when we do that. And I did that as well. So thank you very much, Cammie, for that example. Sharon.
I'll try to unvideo. Am I unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that emotional part of the intellectual center. I'm trying to undo my video too, but here we go. Yeah. So I had the same experience as Cammie. I went straight to the teacher that I absolutely loved who taught me geometry. And I hadn't any idea that it was part of the emotional intellectual center. So I'm so grateful because I've always thought that my emotional center was dead.
Well, I don't think you'd be here if that were the case, but thank you, Sharon. Nor would you be attracted to yoga if that were the case. So thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
When I first was looking at this, you know, earlier today, I went to immediately thinking about his British accent and went to imagination and daydreaming about his British accent. But, you know, so it's interesting. We'll go to Victoria and Bonnie, and we'll end with Bonnie. If you both can keep it brief, that'll help us move to the next video.
Yes, I struggled with it a little bit. I sometimes struggle with intellectualizing things over deepening spiritual experiences. I sometimes think they're kind of on opposite ends. I thought the exercise was interesting and entertaining. I don't know that it evolved in any way spiritually, but it was interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, it is interesting. And what makes it interesting is to watch oneself and how what comes up when we observe impressions and know that we're the perceiving, where is it landing in us? So it's very great insight that you didn't feel any spiritual connection to the geometry lesson. So you learned something about yourself. And that's in part, you know, it invites the harmonization of the center. Say, well, how can it all become integrated and all become a part of a worship for the glory of God, so to speak? Thank you for that beautiful share. Bonnie, we'll end with you. If you can keep it brief, please.
Hi. I went just the opposite. I saw the lines. I had a flash first of the language of the person, and then I went to my math teacher, and then I went to the earlier Lectio Divina with the man that was so broken, and I connected that with the being line, starting with the ray, and going all the way, continuing, so that the being gradually is continuing, and we are continually becoming, and it was pushing the ray out into infinity by having the work that you have to do to get to that part. So the line became a visual, so it became emotional. So it kind of hit a gamut of race. Well,
thank you. So what I'm hearing you say is, if I could take a guess, I'd say that you were processing that video through your moving part of the intellectual center, which would be an interesting one. You know, just go observe that. And a lot of us go to the moving part of the intellectual center. We jump from one thing to the other thing to the other thing. It's a, you know, kind of like, you know, when a dog is interested in all sorts of different things all at once. Thank you. All right, friends. So bear with us. We've got two more videos. This is a video that will obviously deal with the emotional center. And again, the only task we have is not evaluating the content or anything about this video, but observe. You're the subject of, not the video. So observe what this video brings up in you. What center are you watching this video through? What is occurring in you as this video happens? And let us see what unfolds for our community.
Was that a pivotal historical moment we just went stumbling past? Well, here we are, dancing in the rumbling dark. So come a little closer, give me something to grasp. Give me your beautiful, crumbling heart. We're working every dread day that is given us. Feeling like the person people meet really isn't us. Like we're gonna buckle underneath the trouble. Like any minute now, the struggle's gonna finish us. And then we smile at all our friends. Even when I'm weak and I'm breaking, I stand weeping at the train station, 'cause I can see your faces. There is so much peace to be found in people's faces. I love people's faces.
So, emotional center, what did you experience watching that video? What was occurring for you? Sherry, please.
Clearly emotional center. I was so touched and moved and brought to tears.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to say.
I know. I saw that movie, that commercial on television in 2020, sitting alone in my little apartment, and I wept. It was so beautiful. Thank you. Thanks. Sherry. Yeah. Marcia, please.
How do I unmute?
Oh, okay. You're unmuted. Yeah.
When I watched the first one, I can't see myself, but that's okay. When I watched the first one, I just thought, oh, I'm in the intellectual center. I really liked it, and I'm an intellectual, you know, centered person. And then when I watched the emotional one, I just loved it. I thought it was beautiful, and I loved the movement in it, and then the singing and the happiness. So I don't even know which one I liked better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to know.
Good.
One of the things that makes that commercial so special is that I think it does bring the emotional and intellectual together through the spoken word or the poetry. And that's a very unique thing to do, is to integrate the emotions. Ethos, logos, pathos, logos brought together is very, very powerful. Thank you. Max, again.
I was started with this heavy but beautiful place, like the bass in classical music, and then willing, where can I go to lift up? And the scenes and the music went to laughter, children, people of all ages. The images of the children was young life, fresh, not heavy at all. And then into pandemic images of people, some of them maybe seriously ill or at end of life, and the compassionate reaching out for connection. And it was a higher, lighter place on the ray.
Yes. Well, and so thank you. And so if we can do a little work for a second, notice how you're describing what you felt. Kind of analysis of it, which is, so even in that, there's a certain awareness that you're describing it, as I'm hearing it, as you describe it, through the, perhaps the emotional part of the intellectual center. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's something typical that we, especially men do, but Westerners do, we describe what we're feeling. We analyze or use words to describe what we're feeling versus just feeling it. So I'll hold back crying, you know, and I'll use words instead of just letting myself fall apart. So
what I noticed as I was telling it was something that's been new to me in prayer and meditation, which is really working on the will. Mm-hmm. And having will set the place and direction that I want to look, that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And that showed up in my description here too. So I noticed that. Yeah. But it wasn't an emotional, that's for sure. That's right. Yeah, I was stuffing some stuff there.
Yes.
That was beautiful, beautiful imagery and music. And the voice of the commentator was so lovely, so human, so uncommercial is something else.
Thank you, Max. It's beautiful. It helps us all see ourselves through your sharing. Thank you. Marjorie, please.
Yes, I started off, I think, in my intellectual center because I couldn't totally understand her words. And so I was focused on reading it so I could keep up with her. And then after a couple of sentences, I got her accent better and I started understanding the words so I could focus on the pictures. And as soon as I started really looking at the pictures, I just got chills. And like every new picture would bring like a whole new wave of chills in my body. So I knew that I was moving into my emotional center.
Oh, thank you, Marjorie. That's a really beautiful self-observation that you have given to us. I don't know if anyone else noticed the same problem of not being able to understand, but that's really good insight. And shifting, using the right center, you notice that you're not able to hear or understand someone's accent. You can then move to your emotional center and just be with them, you know, and just connect at that heart level without even needing to understand them. You can sometimes do this with people who don't speak your language or you don't speak theirs, and you can just connect with their eyes and just be present with them. And it's a very beautiful connection beyond all language. Thank you, Marjorie. Billy or Brad?
Hello. I had bodily sensations. I mean, you know, I was very moved and it certainly made me teary-eyed. And I loved the voice and I loved the music. That all played together for me. It was all one and the same thing. But I felt some bodily sensations that I wasn't expecting. Real sense of heaviness in my chest, And then, like, I was being punched in the stomach. I mean, it was almost a nauseating feeling. Yeah.
Thank you. So your body was very much involved in that experience, which is a very, very interesting observation. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Lee or Jackie, please.
Oh, darn it. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. While I was watching it, I'm an intellectual center person, and I kept trying to figure out where is she going with this because of the long aisles, long streets. And finally, I clicked into emotional center and was beautifully moved by her words and the pictures. I felt my heart, it was almost like it jumped out of my chest, just burst open. And I could have cried, but I didn't allow myself that, and still feel a bit choked up by it. But it was a beautiful experience.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing. We're going to go to two friends who rarely share, and that's CJ Brandt or Martha Brandt.
Hey, it's me, Martha. I don't know whether I'm a moving center more or emotional, but with that video, I felt like they were happening at the same time. Like as soon as it started, the music started playing and they started showing people's faces, I felt myself drawn in. I felt myself moving with the music. I really can't hear music and not move. We laugh about that because we're different with music that way, but my body just moves as soon as I hear music. And so it felt emotional and moving. And I really can't even remember anything about what the voice was saying, really, or what kind of voice it was. So
moving, it felt moving. That's what Billy just said. Essentially, her body moved.
Yeah, my body moved. And like moving close to the people's faces, wanting to touch them, wanting to connect. Yeah.
So there's a really good insight for us that the body people might respond with that need to move. We'll go to Marta and Tomas, please.
Hi, thank you. This is Tomas here. I was really moved to ask this question because I think for me, knowing whether I'm emotional center or intellectual center primarily is just really hard to know. And I always have a hard time discerning that. And I'm wondering if you can help me. My reaction to this video is, I think, a very strong emotional response. But at the same time, I found myself focusing a lot on the connections between the ideas in the lyrics. Maybe a little bit of a bias because I teach English literature. And so I'm like looking at the techniques that are involved and things like that, and how she's using those to communicate these ideas of the, you know, the trauma we just all went through with COVID. Sometimes I think I'm intellectualizing something that's emotional, but then other times I find myself investing intellectual things with emotional weight, like making the geometry symbolic, right? And so I try to invest meaning in things that are probably just factual and not necessarily invested with meaning. So it reminded me of just the other day, I was listening to a worship song that I would have heard as a child and would have rejected for a long, long time because I think I've intellectualized faith for a long time. But I also noticed that as soon as my intellectual center gave permission to accept the lyrics as true, I allowed myself to have an emotional, worshipful experience by listening to the music. So I don't know what that means. Like, what is it like to be an emotional center or number two man versus number three or one? How does one discern that?
Well, it's a beautiful question. And I just journey with you and witness to the question. Can't answer it for you, and certainly not in this format. But the path to that self-knowledge is by way of self-observation. Mm-hmm. What you're describing to me, you have very clear indicators that are hints that you can perceive of how you process your emotions. And so I encourage you just to keep looking at it, keep asking the questions. It's beautiful. And of course, we're here to talk in person anytime. Mm. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll go to Kieran and then Jeanette. I guess that could be Jeff or Kieran.
Oh, I didn't think I'd get my, oh, there it is. It's Kieran. And I agree with Thomas. I thought that I tend to see things or experience things through the emotional center, but I also then try to find meaning to it. And I thought maybe I was going back and forth between the emotional and the intellectual centers. And when you think about harmonizing the centers, what I was thinking is maybe at times during negative emotions, when you're stuck there, moving to the intellectual center moves you from that emotional center. And then when you go into the movement center, you know, I think of harmonizing those centers, being able to use all three in order to derive meaning, understand things in a more fully embodied way, I guess. So yes. Maybe it's all three or both for Thomas.
Yes. What would it be like to be a harmonized being whose centers are clear, connected, or organized in that way that is the fullest of maturity? What would it be like to go through life with our centers all in harmony? I think it would be an exquisite way of being. One would wish for that. So thank you for pointing that. This is really what this exercise is all about. So thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Jeanette, please.
What I really took away from this was how quickly I go into associations. When I first saw the empty streets and all of that, well, my mind went immediately to Kiev in Ukraine. I thought this is going to be a political video. And then I had a feeling of alarm. It was it was from the intellectual center. I didn't feel it in the body so much there. But then when I saw that it was COVID, then this hole opened up, and it was the association of the recent death of a very close person, and it hit with great strength. And it was associations then going through the pictures of the faces and the hands on the windows, and having just had a conversation with Phil's wife before I came on to line today. And she was feeling lost and, you know, the whole thing, that going through the grief process. And it was just amazing. And through it all, something was saying, this is an association. I'm feeling associations here. It was, there's a separation from it. And I'm not sure, why or how that happened.
Yeah.
I saw this as a person going through associations.
Good self-observing. And associations aren't evil or bad. You know, the associations can help us be very empathic toward others, or sometimes even intuitive, because associations might come from higher centers. But the trick is, you know, navigating associations that have nothing to do with what we're supposed to be giving our attention to. So associations also might be an indication of connected centers, because the different centers might arise in different ways. Thank you, Jeanette. We're needing to move on to our third little segment on the instinctive moving center. It's hard to convey instinctive moving center on video, but I thought of what would be one way of doing this. And so this little video is brief, but it will allow you to engage some primitive instinctive moving things. So take this video in and compare it to the other videos, what you're experiencing, what you're observing. And we'll come back on the other side and share. Okay, instinctive moving center. Sorry, my computer is. All right, so that's the instinctive moving center. What was your experience observing this video? Very visceral for me. Troy, I don't know who you are, so I'll let you share. Welcome.
Hey there. Thanks. I'm new to the party.
Nice to meet you, Troy.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. Very simply, a shortness of breath and fear, and felt it in my body. And I'm pretty clearly an intellectual type, and couldn't help but want to get away from that bear as quickly as possible, feeling it in my body. Crazy. Thank you.
Thank you, Troy. Yeah, my hands started to sweat. So.
Thanks.
Thank you. Beverly, please.
Same here for me. It was amazing, this burning in the chest, shortness of breath. My palms are sweaty too. Totally sucked in to the, it was as if I became that person. It was a similar experience that I have watching movies, where I get totally identified, hook, line, and sinker, just completely, I'm gone. I'm there.
Yeah. So is that, like with movies, I get emotionally identified. I'm in the movie. But with this one, my whole body was identified. I'm wondering how much of my emotions were identified with the experience. I'm going to keep observing, but it's fascinating to see how I was riding that bike.
Yes. I mean, I felt fear. It was definite fear for sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Bev. Mm-hmm. Jim Baker, please.
Yeah, absolutely. You all have said it. My stomach was going nuts. I couldn't ride the bike fast enough. It scared me every time I turned around that I might lose the handlebars or whatever and go over the edge. And, being chased by a bear would not be a fun thing. I never even contemplated being chased by a bear on a bicycle. Wow.
Thank you, Jim. Jeff, please.
Yeah, that was a total rush because I mountain bike and I was on the bike. I could feel my adrenaline pumping, and inside I thought, there is no way that bear is going to catch me. I'm going to ride until the very end. And I didn't feel fear until he turned off. And I thought, oh no, you know, why'd he stop? Why didn't he hop the stick? And so, yeah, that was a very fun and exciting. And I had a flash of a danger that I had been in, but I couldn't recall it because everything was moving so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're describing several things going on there. You're analyzing it. Memory comes up from the past. So there's a lot of different aspects of your centers going on there. So thank you, Jeff. Tracy, please.
Real quick, okay. I just want to add to everyone else that I feel adrenaline in my thigh muscles right now. And during the video, my legs were like jiggling, like to ride the bike faster. I mean, my heart is still racing and stuff, but the fact that there's still adrenaline in my quadriceps right now, I think is pretty amazing.
Yeah, the issues are in our tissues. It's really... Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Sure. It's an observation of your body.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling right this second sitting in the chair? You know, it's a really good way of observing a center, which center you're in. Nicole, please.
So to the man who was questioning, you know, what center, I've been in the work for at least a decade, and I still don't question this. But this was very helpful because I'm so excited about that last one. I haven't felt this alive in a long time. And it wasn't fear, it was excitement. It was like, you know, so I'm like, oh, maybe I'm moving. You know, you can go off the Enneagram, and I am a moving one, but I kind of like Steve said in the beginning, I'm a moving type who's always been asleep to my moving center. So that was fantastic. I just felt like going to run a marathon. That was, and going in the woods and, you know, I don't know, that was great. But there was no fear. It was interesting. It was just so, I feel so alive and excited right now.
So it would be interesting to hear your observations and at the time, which centers are in you're in right now that feel so alive and excited.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I wonder.
I don't know who Ivy is. Let's go to Ivy. You're a new person, giving you the opportunity to share. Oh, is that Frank, Ivy?
I started out at the same place that everyone's talking about, and then I had a shift. I started thinking that I had read that a bear can outrun a horse. How can that, you know, what's going to happen here? I started intellectualizing, trying to figure out where it was going. And then I'd fall back into the moving center and identify with the guy enough to be afraid and to be hurried. It was good exercise.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Well, friends, we need to draw this to a close. This was an interesting exercise that Zoom makes possible for us to do this all at the same time. At the church, you know, the founder of the church, Tim Cook, and the teacher of the 10th Man School would introduce all sorts of different videos or movies to the church community as an exercise of observing what came up when you watched a movie that was disturbing or inspiring or whatever it might be. So it's a really helpful place to observe your centers, where they're working, how they're working, when they're working, whether they're not working, whether they're integrated or connected. And that's helpful. So I want to just conclude with the opportunity for Deborah Jean to share a word to us. Deborah, if you have something to share, if you wanted to raise your hand at the beginning, I want to circle back to you if you have just a brief word for us tonight, Deborah. You didn't raise your hand, but Deborah Jean.
There we go. Uh, Well, Peter, that was fun. That was a neat. Thank you for that. Today I was told that I'm being put in hospice tomorrow, and there's nothing more they can do. And it's pretty uncomfortable right now in the body. And today, the emergency room was quiet when I got there, but soon became packed with people. And I was centering, doing some prayer to stay centered and calm and see what was next. And the nurse asked me, "How old are you?" And my son was next to me. And I didn't mean this to come out of my mouth, but I said, "I don't know." Because I was very much in spirit, not in the body. I was not in the pain. I wasn't in the fear. I was just watching the people, being with God in that moment of walking into what this tests were going to tell me pretty quick. And so I it was a funny response because the nurse kind of looked at me funny. And I said, "Well, my body's 71 and it's pretty racked up at this point. It's kind of a walking disaster area, but I don't know. I feel it's kind of like that part of us doesn't have age." And I think I'd shared some times ago that I've written many poems and many songs, and the best ones always come about 3 o'clock in the morning when it's very still. And I'll wake up and they're usually completely written with very few changes, if any. And this was a poem, I wanted to read this tonight because I have not totally understood this poem until tonight when we read the reading and the scripture. And the experience today certainly was a part of that, of moving into these last probably few weeks, maybe a month, but probably not that long of this existence. And it was one of those things, like those readings just spoke to me and opened up this door that I could just experience this moment of clarity that, you know, every once in a while we all have that. And it's called epiphany, which is that aha experience. And I wrote it after my father died. Two of the things my father was good at explaining was complex things to me. And he explained paradox and eternity to me as a child. And they were perfectly understandable. And I don't want to go into that explanation, but he was great at that. And he was, I journeyed with him through his battle with alcoholism, his recovery, his illnesses. And I was very close to my dad. And so I wanted to share this because to me, it said it all. Today, as I was talking with my son, and he said, "Mom, what do you think's going to happen?" And I said, I don't know. I would love to be an authority on all that. It is a mystery, as it points out here. But I do know that what I get to take is all the love I've shared in my life. And that it's about those moments of love, those gifts of love that I've received, that I've given, the love I've had with him. And as Cynthia says, that is stronger than death. It has nothing to do with death. So I just wanted to share this, if you'll permit me, please. This poem. And poetry is where my moving intellectual, emotional centers seem to come together well. Epiphany. "I have struggled to meet this soul of mine, to become as naked as the moon and as strong and fragile as adobe, baked hard and crumbling in the weather of time. I've struggled to shine without shame, to stand face to face with my darkest thought, to bear my loneliness in the song of a bird planted bright against leafless winter trees. I've struggled to show this soul of mine, to praise the God of sorrow and the waves, to praise the God of sorrow with waves of deep round belly laughs and illumine the God of joy with the fire of these tears, burnt white and delicate like pearls on the neck of a child. And I've struggled to free this soul of mine, to sail on love as moist as hot ice and dance with spirals of fog in the morning sea, vanishing ghosts that curtain and open the sunrise. I've struggled to live from this soul of mine, to bravely breathe in the incense of each day's quest, and to sleep at night in the arms of a question, whispered lullabies like innocent dreams that sing of great mystery. And I will struggle to love this soul of mine, to take my fill of the blood of the river and the body of rock, to find renewing friendship in a freshly plowed field, turned over and under as the vine surrenders her fruit. Yes, I will struggle to rise each morning as the Christ herself, and to live each day in the glory of failure and the tragedy of hope, until in celebration of this soul's epiphany, I will die as the hero of no one, wrapped in silence and gently laid in the home of souls, an unmarked grave. And for me, what today brought me to was, I don't know whether this entity survives, but I do know that I will be with the body, that Christ and God are eternal, as is love, and that's what travels with us. Thank you for letting me be a part of this community.
Thank you, Deborah Dream. We're with you now and always.
And thank you for your prayer.
Thank you, dear. And we'll be with you. Marianne?
So we close with an affirmation that Deborah Jean began for us, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.